Everybody opens your Bible, Acts chapter 1. The tomb is empty. What happened next?
Check.
Okay, perfect. And we're going to read Acts chapter 1. And I'm going to have Hanswani. You're going to read for me. Look at her face. Sleep. Did I scare you? No, okay. I'm going to need... Where's Captain? Oh, he's not here. Ryan. Come here. Keep this mic. And I'm going to choose different people. Everybody open your Bible. Or I know it's going to be on the screen as well, but I want you to read from your Bible or your phone. Acts chapter 1. Let's start with... Do you have your Bible on, Swanee? Okay. Philip. Actually, let's start with Dave. Dave. Next time, Answani, I'll get you. Chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 1 to 4.
I don't have my glasses, so I might be a little slow.
Okay. Okay, well, then let's try Ursel.
I'll tell you what, let me go out and get my glasses.
Huh?
I got them in the car.
That's all right. Let's try Ursel. Uh-huh.
First one. In my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day of he was taken up to heaven after giving his church apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after his crucifixion, he appeared to the apostles from time to time. And he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God.
Is that helpful? That's good. Verse 6, let's try Erica. Verse 6 to 11.
So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive your power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witness, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.
Mm-hmm. Verse 9.
And, after saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go.
That's good. Verse 12 to 14, Dave.
Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called Mount Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. And they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They were all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. How far you want me to go?
That's good. No, that's good. Let's try Laurie back there. And we're going to do 15 to, the rest of the chapter.
The whole rest of the chapter.
Mm-hmm.
All righty then. During this time, when about 120 believers were together in one place,
Peter stood up and addressed them. Brothers, he said, the scriptures had to be fulfilled concerning Judas, who guided those who arrested Jesus. This was predicted long ago by the Holy Spirit speaking through King David. Judas was one of us and shared in the ministry with us. Judas had bought a field with the money he received for his treachery. Falling headfirst there, his body split open, spilling out all his intestines. The news of his death spread to all the people of Jerusalem, and they gave the place the Aramaic name Akeldama, which means field of blood. Peter continued, this was written in the book of Psalms where it says, let his home become desolate with no one living in it. It also says, let someone else take his position. So now we must choose a replacement for Judas from among the men who were with us the entire time we were traveling with the Lord Jesus, from the time he was baptized by John until the day he was taken from us. Whoever is chosen will join us as a witness of Jesus' resurrection. So they nominated two men, Joseph, called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. When they all prayed, O Lord, you know every heart. Then they all prayed, O Lord, you know every heart. Show us which of these men you have chosen as an apostle to replace Judas in this ministry, for he has deserted us and gone where he belongs. Then they cast lots, and Matthias was selected to become an apostle with the other 11.
That's good. Donna, pray for us. Donna, pray for us, please. Okay, go ahead.
Dear Father, we just come before you knowing your presence is here with us.
That's right.
We just ask, Father, as we read your word, that you will open our eyes and our hearts to your word in a spiritual manner. That, Father, we'll be able to accept that which you've given us today. Just bless our pastor as he brings forth your word. Mm-hmm. Bless us as we receive that word. Bless us as we act upon that word. We ask it all in your wonderful name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. So you see what happened? I pretty much blew everyone's back box in their mind right now. Because it's like it's like everybody had some kind of idea how the rest of the service should go, right? And then all of a sudden, I'm disturbing your comfort. Not only I'm disturbing your comfort, I'm asking you to step in with me. And there's a reason I say I do this. And I want all of us to shift our mind to understand. When we come here, God wants to use you to minister to one another. Of course, we come to get encouraged, to worship the Lord, to praise the Lord, to celebrate. It's a celebration service. But also, we do not fit the Holy Spirit in a box. I mean, moving forward, if I ask you to pray, you can't tell me. Guess what? We won't move forward until you pray. So, if I ask you to read, if I ask you to read a verse, unless you mute, you can't speak. Now, if you can't read, and I think everybody here can read. I understand all of you here can read. But you never know what's going to take place here. What's going to happen here. When you come prepared to serve. There's a verse in 2 Timothy. I want us to go there. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. 2 Timothy. And I want us, let's put it on the screen. All of us going to read it together. 2 Timothy 3. Actually, 2 Timothy 3. 3. 16, 17. We're all going to read it together once it's up there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Sharon, for all of your hard work. Are we ready? Let's read it together. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. Let's try again. 16. Go back to 16. Ready? All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. Verse 17. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do what? Every good work. So none of us have any excuse. I can't talk, I can't speak, I'm shy. No. Guys, Jesus is coming back. You know, anybody here hates to say goodbye? And I know some of you, I mean, for Kendra's family, every time, I mean, sometimes, back in the days, I used to be like, I mean, why do you have to cry? I mean, it's just, we'll see you later, you know? I mean, we're just going to see you next week. Some people, they're going to from here to New York, and they cry, saying goodbye. I'll be back tomorrow, but they cry. Some people don't like to say goodbye. You know, yesterday, we went to the funeral of our dear brother Bruce. I don't know if everybody here remember Bruce, but Bruce was a good friend of ours. But you know, I really love funerals. I don't. It's sad. It's really sad. But I think funerals does something to me that I really like. I've heard a preacher. He said, "I would rather do a funeral service than a wedding," because at a funeral service, everybody have a perspective of what am I doing? How is life? Where am I going? All those questions. You know, funerals are always sad because this is the last goodbye, right? And it reminded me again this weekend, your will you, which is your spirit, and that's what Jesus taught the apostle in chapter 1. Your will, you which is your spirit, will live forever. But it depends on you, on how you do this life on this earth, 60, 70, 80, 90, whatever, however long you live, will determine where you will spend your eternity. But it's so, I mean, it's crazy because I'm looking at the corpse, the remain, and you could see the person wasn't there. I mean, have you ever take time to really look at a dead body? Maybe some of you haven't. The other day I did. I stand there at the viewing and I'm looking for my friend. He wasn't there. I mean, I'm really thinking. I'm like, I know this guy. I've known him for 4 years, but I've done some good things with him. We talk all the time. You know, when he's in town, he's always in soaking here. After soaking, we spend an hour in my office, or we go out for breakfast. I mean, for lunch. So I know him. And there, he's gone. And I went to the viewing, and I'm looking at his remain. He's not. Then I realize again, my real me, the real Ricardo, is my spirit. More than ever, from this weekend, I made a declaration in my mind. I said, Lord, I am going to focus more on my spirit because this body is going down. It's going down. This body is the day we were born. You see, you watch it. Our body's going down. But hallelujah, the spirit man will never go down. You know, I tell you, we spend a lot of emphasis. We spend a lot of money. We spend a lot of time on our physical body. We spend a lot of time on our souls. But at the end of the day, your spirit man, where is it going? Don't get discouraged if your body is going down, your back's hurting you. Your knee's going down. You know, it's like, man, when I was 30, I didn't have all these issues. Now I'm 46, I have all these issues. We don't like to say goodbyes. And goodbye is not fun. I thought a lot about this. Jesus had the chance to say goodbye to his disciples too. You know, the other thing I thought about this week, and I saw it in Acts chapter 1, Jesus gave the disciples purpose. You remember a sermon I preached a couple weeks after, when the tomb is empty, now what? Okay, so the tomb is empty, now what? So the disciples, they're thinking, you know, have you ever find yourself in a situation where you don't know which direction to go? Or you just like stuck, you don't know if you should get this job, move over here, move over there, you're just not sure. That's the worst place to be, where you feel like I have no purpose. And I know if you all are like me, I gotta have purpose. I can't be the guy, you know, some people, they wake up in the morning and they've got nothing to do next month. If you tell me, I mean, we plan, but the outcome is in the Lord's hands, right? But I have purpose. I know, that's why when you know what you're supposed to do, if you know you're supposed to go to Chesapeake, it doesn't matter if Elbow Road is blocked. You will find another way. You will find another road. Why? Because your destination is in Chesapeake. You know, I was reminded again that the greatest tragedy in life is someone without purpose. And Jesus gave his disciples purpose. What is your purpose? You know, God has a purpose for you. God has a purpose for your marriage. He's got a purpose, young people. He's got a purpose for your future. He's got a purpose for your children. He's got a purpose for, you know, we're not just here just to be here. Life's greatest challenge is in knowing what to do. Knowing what to do. Sometimes I find myself in situation, even this week again, me and Kendra are having some great conversation. I thank God for her because she's such a good partner. She encourages me when I need it. And she's got the words I need to hear. But you know what? Most of the time she reminds me of what God said. And you know, if you find yourself in a situation where you know what to do, but you don't want to do it, okay, well, maybe a couple of you, but I have, okay? I find myself in situations like that all the time, where I know what to do, but I don't want to do it. I know this is where I'm supposed to go, but I don't want to do it. People like us need someone in our lives that can remind us of God's will. That's why do not surround yourself with people that can't tell you the truth. A true friend will tell you the truth in your face, whether you like it or not. Amen. You know those people, I hope everybody has somebody like that, you know. Someone who tell you, man, you're just lazy. Someone who can tell you, you know, you need to go get a job. It's about time for you to get off government's aid. I got 2 or 3 witnesses here, that's good. That's all I need. That's all I need. I'm going to say it again. The greatest challenge in life is to know what you must do. And that's what Jesus did with the disciples. Acts chapter 1, verse 3, Jesus appeared to his followers over a period of 40 days after his resurrection. Can you imagine the hope he brought the disciples? Can you imagine spending time with Jesus after he came out of the tomb? His disciples saw his pierced hands and feet. They even listened to his teaching about the kingdom. I can imagine their hope. You remember the night, Friday night, Good Friday when Jesus died? All their hope was like done. They were hopeless. And then Sunday morning came. And then Jesus showed up, guys. Multiple times, for 40 days. A lot of teaching Jesus did. And then all of a sudden, Jesus said, hang on, guys, let me tell you this. Verse 4, do not leave Jerusalem. Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sent you the gift he promised. Well, I wonder among the disciples, which one of them asked him first, Lord, where are you going? Huh? Lord, Jesus, what are you? You can put that verse up there, Act 1, verse 4. It says, once he was eating with them, he commended them. Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sent you the gift, the Parakletos, the power, the thing that makes you excited. You know, as kids, when you bring a gift, it's like, yeah, mama bring you a gift. You know that? You remember? You know, kids, when you remember when you were a kid? I tell you, Jesus said, unless you become like a child, you will not inherit the kingdom. Sometimes in our mind, we're too adult. We operate as adults. We need to be like a child. You know, sometimes you bring the kid, you go to the dollar store, you get him like a toy for a dollar. You're like, oh, look what Tati bought me, right? That's the way Christ wants us to be. He wants us to have the same mind to believe, to obey, and believe. Do not leave Jerusalem until Father sent you the gift. Something special was coming. That's what he told them. He said they would be baptized. They would be baptized. They would be, you know, when you go to the pool, big pool, you dive. You all see the picture? What happened? But have you ever been in a situation where, maybe not, none of you, but just imagine with me, in a situation where you didn't have water and you had half of a gallon of water to bathe. I know some of you are like, what? How is that possible? It is possible. There's nothing more challenging. A half gallon of water to bathe in. I tell you guys, you're so blessed. Maybe you've never experienced that, and I don't wish that on anybody. But nothing like it. I remember a couple years ago, God sent us into an area in Haiti to teach the ministry school. The pastor agreed to receive us. We drove like 4 or 5 hours up. We went through many rivers. I mean, mountains. By the time we got there, it was cold because way up in the mountains. But we realized they never offer us any water to drink. I mean, on that trip, we bought some water to drink. But then when we got there, they, you know, left us some food and whatever, but there wasn't any water. So, okay, we didn't think anything about it. We got our own water, we drank. Okay, night came and they offered us no water to bathe. And then, you know, went around and asked, you know, do you have any water? They said, no, the river is like 800 kilometers down the hill, whatever. There's no water. No water to bathe. Baptized. And I believe more than ever, listen to me, more than ever, if you had the Holy Spirit, you need to just double check if I have the power. If you're not sure about the power, you need to wait. You need to position yourself to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. You won't survive without the power of the Holy Spirit. Our church won't survive without the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I tell you, I can't make it without the power of the Holy Spirit. Nowadays, unless your life is being guided, unless you are living under the influence, you all understand this? Under the influence. I think anybody that gets drunk, it's the, you know, It's the worst thing somebody can do to themselves. Then you become like, I've seen them here. Under the influence. They can't stand up. They quarrel. They vomit. Excuse me. They look pitiful. They're out of control. You wait. How many of us here would wait? If today Jesus would come to you saying, hey, I want you to wait before me for 3 hours. I just want you to wait. Grab your Bible. Shut every other distraction. Come into the sanctuary. Just wait for me. Would Jesus find us? Would he even find room in our mind to say, Ricardo, I want you to fast today. I want you to fast soda or fast coffee. Do you know Jesus wants? He wants relationship. He wants to be near you. Do you know that? Jesus wants to be near you. He wants to rub on you. You know, and the more I rub on one, whatever I carry, he will get. If I stink, what's going to happen to him? The anointing of God says wait. Wait, will. Can we wait? John baptized you with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You know, when Jesus told the disciples they will be baptized, which means saturated with the Holy Spirit, saturated. You all speak good English. You know what that means. Something is saturated with it. The disciple had no idea what this situation would look like. Jesus gave them no preview of Pentecost. You know, and after Easter, come Pentecost. The good thing is we don't have to wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But are we desperate enough? Are you desperate? Are you desperate for Jesus? Are you desperate for fresh fire? Fresh fire of God? Where you position yourself in the presence, even when you come Sunday morning, what's your expectation? When you come to service Sunday morning, what's your expectation? Guys, if we don't give room, if we don't encounter Jesus, we might as well close shop. If Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is not working on a daily basis in your life, guess what? We might as well go to the beach. This is definitely not a feel-good message, but I'm just a messenger. We want the real thing. See, when the Holy Spirit comes, he'll burn with the fire of God in us things that are not from God. He burns the chaffs, the sins, the deeds of darkness. The fire of the Holy Spirit makes us allergic to sin. That's what he says in verse 8. Jesus said, then the Father alone has authority to set those dates. Because in verse 6, they ask him, so Lord, Jesus is giving them a commandment, right? But then it went right over their heads. They didn't get it. They're like, all right, I don't know what he's saying, but let's go to the more important things. When are you going to establish your kingdom? Because they're thinking power. They're thinking Jesus overthrowing Rome. They're thinking Jesus being the king now. You know, John's at, remember the request? John is one at the Jesus' right hand, one at the left. That's what they were thinking. Thank God Jesus never gave us the details that we crave for, but he will never leave us in the dark as well. Jesus simply requires obedience. You remember those kids? Kid, you say, go brush your teeth. Why? Finish your food. Why? You know, don't be like that. You know? It's time for bed. Why? You remember those kids? I don't know if you had one of them, or maybe you were one of them. But after a while, you know, first time the kid does that, you think as parents, oh, how cute. And then you start realizing everything you ask them to do, they have a why. And what do you say? You correct them. God wants us to willingly obey him. There's nothing like a willing heart, longing for God, longing to go after him. Saying, you know what, I'm going to do it, not because the pastor wants me to do it, because it's good for me. That's a good song we sing here. As the deep panted for the water, so my soul. What? So let me tell you this. Hang on. When you're thirsty is a natural feeling, right? We say feeling? Is that a feeling? When you're thirsty? I feel I'm thirsty. No. Is that a feeling? No. It's not a feeling, but it's a need. It's a physical, natural need. So when I'm thirsty, you feel it, right? You sense it. First of all, your lips get dry, and then your throat says, I'm thirsty. And you might even feel something in your belly, your brain, everything is working, and your body knows, I am what? Thirsty. But then do you argue, is there like a fight to go for water? You know? Is there a fight in your brain that says, oh, why are you walking towards the fridge? No, because physically there is a longing for water that would quench your thirst. I pray the same thing happen to our spirit. I pray the same thing happen to our spirit. So you know when you're thirsty. You know what's one thing that's killing the Church of Christ? People who are thirsty don't realize they're thirsty. People who are dry spiritually, they don't understand they're dry. That's my prayer, for us to be thirsty for God, thirsty for more, thirsty for the living water. You know, in verse 8, he gives them one of the most commandment he told them, after he said, wait, but he said, you will. Promise is one of the best promise we could ever have. He says, you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes. And you will be my witness where? In Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the remote areas in this world. Now, there's something very important I see here. You guys remember Jesus' encounter with the women at the well? And you remember what she said? John chapter 4. We're not going to go there. But I'm just going to remind you. What happened? Jesus went to the women. We don't know if he really needed water, but he went and asked her for water. And she's like, well, how come you're talking to me? How come you're talking to me? Right? Because there's a big racism going on between Jews and Samaritans. And I pray, and I hope, none of you here are racist. Racism is a sin. You're not better. You're not worse than anybody else. A person with a poor mindset thinks they're higher than anybody. That's why slavery was evil. Slavery was straight from hell. No man shouldn't own another man. But I really like the fact that Jesus sent the disciples. He's like, when you receive power, guess where you're going to go? You're going to go to encounter the people you dislike the most. I wonder what some of them thought. You remember? There's a story in the Bible as well, in the gospel. One of the disciples says, well, Jesus, why don't we order fire from heaven to come over some area? Jesus rebuked them. So racism, I mean, way back then, this is racism right there. In John chapter 4, the lady already had in her mind, Jews, I'm a Samaritan, Jews don't talk to us. And it's like we hate each other. This whole thing that's been going on for years between white and black. And I pray you guys don't involve your mind in that stuff. You love everyone. Love everyone. And no one can bring you down. Me, as a colored man, I love my color. Oh, I love. I through the blood of Jesus, I understand who I am. Nobody can bring me down. It's your problem, brother. You're so miserable, you know you need Jesus. Because when you meet Jesus, you understand you know better than anybody, and nobody else is better than you. We are equal. As a matter of fact, when we're dead, you can't identify women, guys, you know. I mean, yeah, we all look alike. We've all bled the same. But it's so sad that spirit got into our churches and caused people to treat other people badly. That's not welcome in God's church. The spirit of racism is not welcome in God's church. Be careful. Be careful. That's a very strong thing that's happening out there. Be careful. See everybody through the lenses of Christ. Grace. See, please, listen to me. Listen to me, especially, you know, elections coming up. Be careful. So Jesus told him, go to Samaria, Judea. You know, and to finish with this, what I was telling you from John, the woman, first of all, was shocked because Jesus was a man. And back then, Jesus, a Messiah, a teacher, no teacher in their right mind would ever address her. But what did Jesus do? Oh, he talked to her. He asked her, would you give me some water? He's like, what? Why are you asking me for water? I could see her attitude, right? Don't you know there is no friendship between us? I mean, she was bold too. She's like, what are you doing trying to talk to me? Don't you know you and I, we have nothing in common? Jesus said, man, if only you knew the man talking with you, you would give him you would ask him for the living water. Then you know the rest of the story. No respectable Jewish man who would talk, who would respect themselves back then would talk to the woman. But what did Jesus do? He removed every barriers. And that's why he's calling you. He's saying, when you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, every barriers in your life will be fallen. There won't be any barriers. That's why we need the power of the Holy Spirit, because once you are baptized with the fire of the Holy Spirit, you realize there is no excuse. I told you this already. I used to be a shy boy. Young man, I was shy. Can you imagine? I was so shy, I didn't even want to talk to people at church. I was shy and quiet. I wasn't this loud, guys. I was very quiet. Kendra knew me then. Yeah, she knew me before I met the Holy Spirit. She saw the change. I didn't like people. I didn't like the Samaritans. And Samaritans could be it doesn't have to be different color. It could be your neighbors. Your neighbors are, you know, your Samaritans. People you dislike. But Jesus is sending us to be witness. He says, that's why you cannot do the rest of the gospel on your own strength. You ask yourself, why people that go to church are so mean? Why are they so selfish? Something's missing. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. We need that. I can't have it for you. I got my own counter. You need your own counter. The gospel requires us to confront our racism and our fear of foreigners, our fear for different people. I've heard some people that says, well, they can't go to this church because this church is black church, it's white church, it's Spanish church, it's Filipino church, it's African church, it's, you know. Remember, in heaven there won't be any black, white, all people, all languages, every nation will bow down. We start today, and I read it again. It says when you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, when it comes upon you, you will be my witness where? Telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, which means your close corners at home. You know those people? They can preach everywhere else but at home. They can Jesus people everywhere else but except for home. I mean, they lead cell groups. They're very devoted at their church, but their neighbors, I guess. If you're a follower of Christ, you seek for peace with everyone. And that means sometimes you let them park in front of your house. You say, God bless my neighbor. Bless my neighbor. God bless him. You see where they put their trash? You see where they put their trash? I'm gonna know. And when you say, I'm gonna, the Holy Spirit's like, what are you gonna do? And you say, I'm gonna bless them, Lord. I bless them, Jesus. Lord, they need you, but I am not gonna give in to it. I'm not gonna be rude to them. You see how many times they cross the street, they see me, they look at me in the eye, never say hi. Guess what? I'm sick and tired. Now I'm gonna do the same. Holy Spirit, what? You can't do that. This is the true gospel. You obey the word. You do not like them. Don't act like them. As a matter of fact, you've been called out from them. You have something to offer them. Jesus said in Matthew, you're the salt of the world. You're the light. You're the light. We're not like them. Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back for a pure bride. You must be holy. You know, and I'm going to finish with this, where the disciples come together. They said, okay, guys, you know what happened to Judas, but we need to choose somebody else. So what did they do? Let's look at the verse, what they did. So they nominated two men, Joseph called Barsabbas, also known as Justice, and Matthias. Then they all prayed. What they pray? Oh Lord, you know every heart. Show us which of these men you have chosen. Verse 25. As the apostles, show us which one you choose as an apostle to replace Judas. And you know what happened to Judas. And then they cast lots. So what do you see here? Two things you see. Help me out. They prayed, but then the Bible doesn't tell us if they waited. Somehow they asked, check with me. They asked, Lord, which one of these two you want? And then the guy's like, well, let's flip the coin then. I'm not saying what they did was wrong. But I searched the Bible again this week. I've never heard the name of Matthias mentioned anywhere else. But also, I'm not saying he wasn't being used by the Holy Spirit. What I'm saying is this. Sometimes God calls you to be in the background. People will never make mention of you. And you serving, I mean, we know if we would If they would write everything the Holy Spirit done with the disciples, there would be no room in this world for books. The other thing also we can learn from this, when you pray and ask God for direction, ask the Lord for patience to wait. Because from my experience, I blow it when I can't wait. So we pray, Lord, give us patience to wait. And we also know that one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is what? Patience. Patience. Oh, be patient. Let's wait. Wait. Be patient. Let's just wait. Don't be too quick to jump to conclusion. Just wait. Maybe give it a couple days. Give it a couple months. Maybe a year. But you're like, Lord, how long? Just wait. He'll tell you. Father, we thank you for your word today. Lord, we pray that you'd make us bold witness. Make us bold witness for the gospel. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power. I'm going to encourage you guys to read the book of Acts. Just add it in your devotion. But my prayer is as you seek and see how the Holy Spirit works through the apostles, that your heart would be open for the work of the Holy Spirit. Would you pray this with me? In your own word, just say, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Lord, fill our hearts with you. We don't have to wait anymore, but we can just ask, and you will fill us, Father. Make us bold for you, Lord. Whether I am in my neighborhood, whether we are in our city, wherever we at, Lord, make us bold. Make us bold, God. Lord, we ask that you would also forgive us for all the times we lost so many opportunities, or we were being disobedient to your word, when we knew you were the one leading us. Yes, make us bold. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. And all of God's people say, amen. Amen? Amen. So you guys read the rest of the chapter. Spend some time in Acts this week. And we'll see you next week. How about that?